Welcome to Straight from the Horse's Mouth Radio Show. I'm Paula Slater, your host. Our guest today is an author who writes fast-paced thrillers for young adults and picture books for children. I'd like to welcome Laura Wolf. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you, Paula. Thanks for having me.
So today I'd like to talk about your new book, The Trail of Secrets. Now, that sounds quite exciting, and it's a thriller, isn't it?
It is. It's a young adult mystery, and it's set at a riding academy in northern Michigan, which is a place where I've spent a lot of time, and it's kind of a spooky ghost story.
Mm-hmm. Now, while you were at the academy, what inspired, did anything there inspire you?
Yeah, well, I didn't actually attend a riding academy there. I just spent a lot of time there, and I have gone to different horse camps during my life. So I kind of combined all of those different experiences into this imaginary place. Mm-hmm. So the natural land, that's the dense forest, and just a place where someone could get lost, where no one would know where they were. And just the just those surroundings combined with the experiences of being a teenager away from home for the first time, mm-hmm. with a group of girls and all of the different emotions that brings as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, as a child, when did you start writing?
Yes. I started writing probably as far back as first grade. I remember I had a teacher that she'd give us blank books and tell us to fill in the pages with stories. And I just loved doing that. And I did it all the time. I mean, we literally had boxes and boxes of books that I wrote and illustrated. And I just remember really loving to do that when I was young. And I think I kind of lost that a little bit as I got older. And it wasn't until just about 4 years ago when I decided to stay home with my two kids that I kind of rediscovered my passion for writing again.
Mm-hmm. And what motivated you then? Did you have ideas like how did you go towards the genre of thrillers and mystery? Did you always like mysteries?
I did, yeah. And I wanted to write something that I would enjoy reading. And I love the kind of fast-paced thriller books that just keep you guessing and the plot twists. Those are the types of books that I enjoy reading. So I wanted to write something like that. And then, of course, I love horses. I've ridden pretty much my whole life. And so that's something that's just easy for me to write about, and it comes naturally, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Now, why your target audience are young adults? Why that audience?
I think there's so many emotions going on at that age that there was just a lot of different things I could tap into. The main character, her name's Brinley, and she's been diagnosed as a highly sensitive person, which I think a lot of teenagers maybe can relate to, even if they're not, if they don't have that diagnosis. But maybe they're at that age, I just feel like everyone's kind of sensitive to just different things that happen. And with Brinley, it's magnified even more so, so that she just feels emotions so deeply. And that was something I wanted to explore.
Now, are you going to be taking Brinley into other novels or other thrillers?
That's the plan. This is going to be the first book in a what I'm calling the Dark Horse series. Mm-hmm. So then this book I wrote 2 years ago, the bulk of it I wrote during National Novel Writing Month, and it's every November. And then so this November, which is coming up in just a couple weeks here, I'm going to be writing book two. Mm-hmm. And she'll be back for her second summer at Foxwood Riding Academy, and there'll be another kind of mystery that she sets out to solve.
Now, besides being highly sensitive, are you setting Brinley up as sort of a modern-day equestrian Nancy Drew?
Well, I did see someone refer to it that way on a website. That wasn't really what I set out to do, but yeah, that is kind of how it's turning out. Because she can sense things that other people can't, she kind of picks up on these energies and things that other people are missing, and that's what kind of sets her apart from seeing these things that she just can't ignore anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, is there going to be any special horse character? Do you have plans for that?
I'm still thinking about that. Usually when I'm writing, the characters, including the horses, kind of develop as I'm writing. I think, in Trail of Secrets, she had a special horse she was paired with named Jet. And I think I'll have Jet again in the next book and mm-hmm. see where she goes with him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's fun to think about all the different personalities of both the people and the horses in the book. Mm-hmm. And trying to just coming up with their names and things like that. It's fun.
Right. And of course, if you're looking at the Dark Horse series, the Jet sort of, I don't know. I always associate Jet Black, you know.
Yeah, he's a Jet Black horse. That's mm-hmm. how he got his name. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it would be interesting for her to have some kind of bond with a horse rather than, ones that she just meets or...
Now, exactly.
Will she have any sort of, because she's sensitive, and, now we're hearing so much of horses being, like communicating, not, that's the wrong word, but I guess that's the one I'm going to use, communicating with humans or being, humans are more intuitive, or horses are more intuitive, and humans are being able to, are learning to connect with horses. That might be an interesting thing to see how that goes.
Yeah, I've thought about that too, and I have scenes in the book where she's just kind of standing with Jet and looking into his eyes, and she feels like they almost look like crystal balls. They're just kind of all knowing, mm-hmm. And that's something that is explored a little bit in book one, and maybe I'll develop that even more in this next book. Mm-hmm.
Laura, can you read something from Trail of Secrets? It would be lovely to hear something.
Sure, I can read. I'll just start with chapter one, the very first page, and it's actually an excerpt from later in the book, but it gives you a sense of the action that's going to happen. So here we go. Footsteps pounded faster, closing in on her. Brenly darted off the rocky path and squeezed between the trees, her arms outstretched to feel through the darkness. A stray branch sliced into the side of her face, but she forced her way through the brush, no longer certain what direction she was heading. She clambered down a steep embankment, her knees buckling and her hands pushing away the wet earth, willing herself to get back up. The truth dangled in front of her like a low-hanging star, but the odds of her living to tell anyone about her discovery were shrinking with every footstep crashing behind her. Just before the hands grabbed her in the dark and wrestled her to the ground, a cyclone of thoughts reeled through Brinley's mind. Her cabin mates sleeping comfortably in their bunks, the void of Anna's absence beside her, the golden notes of music floating from Rebecca's violin, the buttery sweet scent of her mom's oatmeal cookies baking in the oven, her wonderfully boring life back in Franklin Corners. Lastly, she pictured each word printed in the glossy pages of the Foxwood Riding Academy brochure and almost laughed at its false advertising, its glaring omissions. Nowhere in the crisp 20-page packet was there any mention of Caroline Watson, the 15-year-old girl who went out on a trail ride 4 years earlier and never returned.
That's great. And I love the way you definitely illustrate painting a word picture, which, of course, all our teachers, advised us to do.
Oh, thank you.
That's great. Wonderful. Now, listen, I'd like to talk about your workflow, because I know that there are lots of people who would like to write or aspire to write or are writing. And then some younger people, including, you know, young children who, again, might have a wonderful teacher like your own who offered books, which I think is a great idea, you know, blank pages, and just something to, you know, help people or guide them in writing.
Sure. Well, first of all, I'm sure it's very different for everybody. Mm-hmm. But for me, I like to start with, I mean, obviously it first starts with an idea in your head. And then once I get that, I like to do an outline, a very rough outline on paper. It's just kind of more like a roadmap for me to follow while I'm actually doing the writing, just to keep me on track so I don't go off on some crazy tangent. So I have the outline, and then for me, National Novel Writing Month is a great way to start. It's a yearly challenge every November, and it's totally free. Anyone can do it. And the idea is that you write a novel, a 50,000 word novel, in 30 days.
Okay. I just want to just interject here, because I think accountability is sometimes an issue for writers, and some of them, of course, being shy in the beginning, don't want anyone to see their work. And can you explain how the National Writing works with that?
Exactly. Yeah, you do not have to share your work with anyone. It's more of a support system and a personal challenge for yourself. And if you don't, I haven't completed the challenge the first 2 years I did it, but I did get the bulk of my novel written, at least a first draft, during both of those 2 years that I did it. And nobody saw my writing except for me. It basically tracks your word count every day and keeps you on, it sets a goal for you. I think it's about 1600 or 1700 words a day that you're challenging yourself to write. And, you know, on those days when you write out 2000 or 3000 words, it's like the best feeling in the world. You surpassed your goal. And then at the end, of course, you don't have a finished novel, but you have something to work with. And it just gets you going. It gives you a boost.
Now, is this stored online?
No. I think there is a way at the end to submit your novel, but I've never done that. It logs your word count online, your word count, but you keep your manuscript on your own computer.
Okay. So I'm just wondering where it was saved, I guess, or where it's kept, so you can go back to it.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. And that you can work on it all year.
Yeah, and you can find writing partners. They have write-ins. So it's more of a support system and a personal challenge. But I find it's a great motivator for me to actually take that next step and start writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think otherwise, you could sit back and just think about your novel I could do it for years.
Right.
So it makes you take the next step.
Well, that's a good. Now, talk about how you handle or manage and using ideas and tools that help you manage your ideas. Let's say that you're in the supermarket, standing in line, bored, but you're thinking, you see someone or something triggers an idea. What do you do at that point?
I have a whiteboard in my office that I use to jot down any ideas that I just want to get off my mind, but save them for later. And I think that's a great, you know, some people leave like a notepad or pen by their bed. For me, the whiteboard is kind of like that for me. So I have it's covering an entire wall of my office. And whenever I have an idea for a novel or something I want to change, or maybe it's even a cool website I heard about or something like that, I'll just go in and jot it up there and save it for when I need it. And then once I've incorporated it into whatever I'm doing, then it's, you know, it's just dry erase. So you can always write over it.
But I guess I'm thinking, if you're out, do you use your phone or do you use Evernote or something like that?
I have on my phone, I've got a little notepad thing. I think everybody has that. And I have jotted ideas down there as well.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's what
which
I was
then talking. Get transferred to the whiteboard.
Right. Yeah.
Because I like to have it somewhere where I can see it when I'm working.
Tangible. Yeah. Now, speaking of that, people I know use sticky notes or post-it notes and the old-fashioned, old-school way of using index cards. Do you do anything like that?
I don't do that, but I do use a software program called Scrivener, and which has kind of those digital features built in. So you can do digital sticky notes and put them on there. Index cards where I write like a background of each character on the different cards. And then as you're writing, you can go and flip back and look at what you've put on there. And for me, I love Scrivener. It keeps everything organized. It sets you up. You can rearrange the chapters really easily. And it does take a while to learn how to use it. But once you get past that, it's I think it's really great.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard some people, if you search on the web, there is a tutorial somewhere about how to use Scrivener. And I think
the other thing,
too, is to mention that Scrivener isn't that expensive for writers, again, who haven't got a novel that's pulling in lots of money. It's about $40, I think.
Right, I think so, yeah. It's well worth it. I would, if you're wanting to invest in something to make writing a novel a little bit easier, I think that's a good investment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the only thing I've heard is it is tricky to learn at first, but as you say, once you get going, it's great.
Yeah, and I highly recommend the tutorial as well. I did that before I started using it.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of the author's right hand.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Now, what other books? I know you've written children's picture books or created them. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Well, when I first started writing about 4 years ago, after I left my full-time job, I started with picture books, and I did an online group where you tried to write one picture book per month for the year. It's called Julie Headland's 12 by 12. So I did that, and I ended up with 12 picture book manuscripts by the end of the year. And one of them is getting published, and it's coming out in just a couple months within the next few months. I don't have an exact release date right now, but it's called, it's about horses, and it's called Henrietta's Hoof Polish. And it's being published by Guardian Angel Publishing, and the illustrator is Eugene Rubel.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't seen the illustrations yet. I'm really excited to see what they look like.
Now, are you writing it from the viewpoint of the horse?
Yes. Well, it's not like first person, but yeah, it's about this horse, Henrietta. And she is looking over she lives in kind of a rundown barn with some friends, and she's looking over at the fancy horse barn next door over the fence, and she just wishes that she could live over there instead. And there's a big horse show coming up, and she wants to be in it, so she thinks she has to get some new shoes for the show. So the farrier comes, and she tries on all these different shoes, and none of them fit her. So she has this idea to paint her hooves a glittery blue to be all fancy for the show. And she does that. And she goes to the show, and everyone's staring at her, and she does her thing, and she ends up coming in 11th place. And she's just so sad. And she goes back home to her friends, and they all console her. And then the next morning she wakes up and looks out over the fence into the next pasture, and she sees all the fancy horses. They've all painted their hooves the same glittery blue that she had on. So it's kind of a little story that demonstrates the grass is not always greener on the other side of the fence, that maybe those horses were jealous of her because she has these good friends. So that's what that one's about.
Well, there's lots of lessons in that, too, to be resourceful and to celebrate her creativity, too.
Right, exactly.
Now, can we back up a little bit and talk about, you were speaking about another online resource for picture books. People are writing those. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I started with, as you can probably tell, I love these writing challenges. That's, I guess, what motivates me. So I found the 12 by 12 challenge online. I'm not exactly sure where I heard about it. But it's a really great group, and you do have to pay to join that one because it's a great way to learn about writing picture books if you've never done that before, and to get involved in a critique group. I found a great critique group through that. And then also just the challenge of actually sitting down and writing a picture book manuscript, one per month. And again, they're not probably polished at the end of the month, but at least you have something to
You have a
work with
start.
from that point. Exactly.
Now, and why is it called 12 by 12?
12 picture books in 12 months.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of measurement. I was thinking,
No.
you know, because it is a picture book, I was thinking, you know, again, when you see a number of children's books, they're quite large, and they're usually, I don't know, anywhere between, 12 and 15
Yeah,
inches.
they could be. It might have a double meaning. I'm
And
not
I, of
sure.
course, I'm looking at the visual art part of it. That's where my mind goes first. So, no, that's great. Again, another motivation, another online. Now, how much does that cost? What is that set up for adults, or can children join? Probably not, right?
I think, I haven't looked at it in a while. As I said, I did it about 3 or 4 years ago. And I remember there were different levels of membership you could
Oh,
purchase.
okay.
So I think the entry one was probably not that much. But if you wanted the chance to submit to agents and things like that, then it would be more expensive.
No, I think that would be a great thing for children who are, again, are very computer savvy, and it would be an opportunity for them to start if they're looking at writing.
Exactly. Yep.
But I still go back to your teacher's idea of the blank books, and I do think that there's something about a tangible, hard covered book with blank pages that really is an inspiration and a
Yes.
motivator for kids.
Definitely.
I think, well,
Yeah,
for anyone. I love a blank page books.
my Now, my kids are just at that age where they're getting into writing their own stories now. And especially my daughter, she's really artistic and she loves doing the illustrations. So that's really fun for them to do as well.
And how nice it will be in the future if the both of you can partner up and produce a book together.
Yeah, she we are we have been working on one of the manuscripts I wrote during that 12 by 12 challenge. We just got out this summer for fun, and she's been working on the illustrations for the pictures. So it's just a fun project we're working on together.
No, and other children just love artwork by their peers, that's for sure. No, that's great. That's a wonderful idea. Now, let's talk about, now, first of all, let me check. Have I covered everything that you would like to speak about?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, because now this book, let's go back to Trail of Secrets. It came out in August, and of course, as we head into the season, Halloween is a very spooky time, and that would be a great time to read something like this, especially dark
Definitely.
forests and all that,
Definitely.
and
It is
horses and.
Trail of Secrets is a it's at its core, it's a ghost story. Brynley hears a ghost story her first night at the Writing Academy around the campfire, and the girl who's telling it says it's scary because it's true. It really happened here. This girl 4 years ago went off on a trail ride and her horse came back without her, and they've never seen her since. And so of course Brynley starts seeing the girl or the ghost of the girl around the camp, and so that's how the story gets started.
Well, that's really intriguing. All right, now let's talk about if I'm sure, again, if people are writing or if they're interested in your book, they would like, if they would like to contact you, maybe you could review or go over some of your URLs where you're available.
Sure, definitely. My main website is authorlaurawolf.com.
And Wolf with an E.
Wolf with an E, exactly. And then on there are the links to my Twitter and Facebook, but I can give you those real quick too. My Twitter handle is @LauraCWolf. And then my Facebook is just facebook.com/authorlaurawolf. And then I'm also on Goodreads. And I love interacting with people on Goodreads, Twitter, Facebook, wherever. It's just so great to hear from people after they've read my book and to hear what they think about it, mm-hmm. or to answer any questions. That's my favorite thing.
And I think that's a wonderful opportunity now that the internet provides an ability to interact with an author that you love. And what a wonderful gift, you know.
Absolutely.
For
yeah.
All of us. Now, where's your book for sale besides your website?
Yeah, it is on Amazon.com, and it's both digital and print. It's also on BarnesandNoble.com for people who have a Nook, but it's also digital and print there. And then on Smashwords, it's just digital.
Amazon?
Amazon, digital and print, BarnesandNoble.com, mm-hmm. digital and print, and Smashwords. Just
great.
Digital.
Okay, super, super.
Uh-huh. All right. And those links are all on my website as
right.
well.
And all of those links will be on Straight from the Horse's Mouth radio show. And so if people want to connect, they can connect. If they forget, they can definitely go through your post page and get back to your site and all the places that can the books can be purchased. And we're really looking forward to the release or the publish of your new book. And then, of course, you'll be working on this series, which is really exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited to mm-hmm. get started on the second one.
Great. All those young equestrians that like to read about horses, of course.
Exactly.
Yes. Well, thank you very much, Laura, for this time. I really appreciate it.
And thank you.
Yes. So we'll hope to speak again when you get Henrietta out and get it up online. It'll be wonderful to see her with her bling little
yes.
hooves.
That would be great. Thank
All
you
right.
so much.
All right, then. Thank you, Laura.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. I hope you enjoyed my interview today with Laura Wolf. And remember, that's Laura with an E. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at horsemouthbook.com. That's horsemouthbook.com. I don't know about you, but it's difficult sometimes to get the time to read, and you can listen to a book while you do your mucking out or the chores that are a little bit mundane, like washing dishes. This is Paula Slater signing off for Straight from the Horse's Mouth radio show. We'll see you next week. Bye.